91.3 KXCI Tucson, real people, real radio. Hello, Tucson. Thanks for joining us today on 91.3 KXCI. This is Kathy Harris with Aspen Green, and we're bringing you Broad Perspectives Radio, a program by women, about women, but for everyone. You can hear more of our programs on our podcast page at kxci.org. And I am so excited today because we're talking to a wonderful musician I have admired for a long time, Bianca Caruso, who is one half of the duo Freddie and Francine. You know, I first saw them years ago when they opened for Ryan Hood here in town, and I was so impressed with them, I started following them in. They're going to be playing again in Tucson next week, so you'll want to hear some of their music today that we're going to be playing right here, and we can also learn more about Bianca. And I have to say that she has the greatest smile ever. She makes me happy just to look at her, so you're going to want to go see her just to watch her smile. Okay, so Aspen, let's get to it.
Okay, so as you said, we have Bianca Caruso with us today, and she is a dynamic singer, songwriter, and performer, best known, as you said, as one half of the Americana soul duo, Freddie and Francine, alongside her husband, Lee Ferris. She was raised in Maine and Austin, Texas, and Bianca brings a rich blend of folk, soul, and theatrical flair to her music. She and Ferris met in Los Angeles in the Los Angeles production of Hair in 2007, and their collaboration evolved into Freddie and Francine, known for tight harmonies and emotive storytelling. Outside the duo, Caruso has toured nationally, performed with artists like Idina Menzel, co-founded the musical comedy act Zabruso, and teaches voice, reflecting her deep commitment to the performing arts. In addition to her musical career, she became a mother to her son Cosmo in August 2022 and graduated summa cum laude from the University of Arizona's College of Deaf Studies with an emphasis on educational interpreting. Freddie and Francine have an upcoming show on June 7th at Club Congress with Riso, and we'll talk about that more later. Welcome to our show.
Thanks for having me.
I wish the audience that is listening can see your face and smile. But they will when
they can't.
When they come to the show.
Yes, there you go.
Well, tell us a little bit about yourself. You grew up in rural Maine, and then you went to Texas. Which had a greater influence on you?
I don't know if I can say which had a greater influence, but I think they influenced me in different ways because where I grew up in Maine, it was a very small town called Phillips, Maine, and there wasn't a lot to do. And so mostly what I did was listen to the radio. My radio station was, I believe, Moose 92 FM. And that's where I really got to know music and start to find what I liked as a singer. And I would just listen and I would copy and I would harmonize. So that was sort of my window into music. And that was all there was to do, really. There wasn't a lot to do in this very small town. But when I moved to Texas, I will say that's where I realized that I wanted to sing. And the choral programs in Austin, Texas, specifically in Lake Travis, where I went to school, were so incredible. And I would not be where I am today without those choral programs. So I would say they both have a great influence on me, but I gravitate more towards Maine for some reason. Like I still go there. My dad still lives there and I love it. And I think about it. I dream about it. I write about it. So that to me, inspirationally, Maine is more of an influence on me in that area.
Okay. More of your formative years probably were in Maine. So
yeah.
You've performed in the Tucson Folk Festival and that's where I met you. Is that what brought you to Tucson? Because you're now living in Tucson.
The Folk Festival did not bring us to Tucson, although that was a great reason to come back to Tucson because we enjoyed it so much. And that was our first real time, like spending time in Tucson, the city. But we came here because I got accepted into the University of Arizona's Deaf Studies program. And so we moved here so I could finish school. And so really, we haven't been playing shows in Tucson since we moved here. And so this next show that we're playing at Club Congress on June 7th is our first like official Tucson show. I know we played the Folk Fest, but folk festivals are amazing because people come out and you don't have to worry about things. But then like a club show is a different beast. It's like you sell tickets and you're like, are people coming? I'm not sure. Do people know who we are? This feels like a really momentous occasion, this show that's coming up for us as like new Tucson locals.
Okay, and you're playing with a fabulous group, Riso. I mean,
Yes. Amazing. We're so
I'm so
excited.
excited. Kathy and I were talking about it before the show, making our plans to go for sure. Don't want to
Yes.
miss this one.
Yay. Oh, good.
You know, I read that you're a classically trained vocalist. Tell us a little bit about that, and when did you get started?
Well, yeah, I started doing training probably when I was 10 years old. And I mean, what that means is just like I know the foundation of my singing is based in a classical training, whereas like I know how to breathe correctly. I know how to use my mouth and my face to create certain sounds that I want. And what it helped me with is I can be really versatile with my voice. I can do musical theater if I want. I could do pop music if I want. I could do classical. Now, classical, I think, had too many rules for me, and there was a lot of restriction. It felt very restricted. But I really am so glad that my foundation is classical music. And what I can use all of those tools for all the other styles of music that I want to sing and that feel more in tune with who I am. So really, it's just the foundation of the learning of how to use my voice in the correct way so I can not lose my voice.
Yeah, that is one of the things about Freddie and Francine that I think is so amazing is the harmonies and how powerful both your voices are and how fantastic they blend together. It's just incredible as far as I'm concerned.
Thank you.
So, for those who might not be familiar with your music, how would you describe Freddie and Francine's sound?
That's a good question. Well, I mean, other people have described it to me, like you're saying, it's two lead singers, really, and we're both classically trained, so we have that power. But really, I would describe it as like, I want it to be dynamic. I guess I'll describe it as I want people to experience it, maybe not how people experience it, but I want it to be a dynamic performance. I want it to feel like there's really small moments that are really intimate, and then you have these really big moments in the same song, and then it brings you back down. I never want it to be like two people singing loudly the entire time, because that would bother me.
Right.
So I want there to be like these moments where you're like, where we're restrained, and you're like, oh, are they going to do more? And then you see them like, oh, no, there's more coming. You know, so you're sort of like, we're keeping you on your toes throughout the show. We're not just giving you level 10 the entire time. We're like level two, level five. So I want it to feel like a dynamic performance. And I think our sound is dynamic.
Yeah, I think that you can tell that you guys both have musical theater in your background because it is more than just you singing. You have a specific performance feeling. It's more than you just singing songs. But let's talk about you and Lee meeting at the 40th anniversary production of the musical Hair in Los
Yeah.
Angeles. So you were both doing musical theater.
Yes. So I had been doing some musical theater shows previous to Hair, the Taffetas, which are these like old girl group shows where we just do a review of like 50s and 60s music. And I'd always done musical theater. I always joke, like, if you're a loud singer in high school, you're going to get all the lead parts. Like, if you're loud, you're going to get the lead. So both Lee and I were loud. And so we often got the lead in all our shows. I was doing musical theater. Lee wasn't doing musical theater as much. Lee was doing more like solo, acoustic, and also electric experimental stuff. He was also playing in a cowboy jazz band, very popular genre of music. And he
Did you say
got
cowboy
cast.
jazz?
That's right, I did.
I'm
So
not sure
he
I've
was
ever heard that.
somebody coined it, but he was meaning he was just like a side guy in LA. And they were casting the original Broadway producer, Michael Butler, was casting the 40th anniversary production with him as the producer. And Lee, whose voice is insane, if you haven't heard his voice, you got to listen to it. They cast him as Burger. He was the lead in Hair. And I was just in the tribe, which, if you're in the tribe in Hair, you're on stage the entire time. Like, it's not a supporting part. You are there for the
Right.
whole time. After Hair was really where we started to figure out what Freddie and Francine was. So it was sort of born out of that musical theater time.
Well, it leads me to the question, which I'm sure you've been asked over and over and over again. How did the name Freddie and Francine become your duo's name? And I read you got it in a Jewish Chinese restaurant, which is also unique and I've never heard of.
Well, yeah. And the name of the restaurant is Genghis Cohen, which is the best kosher Chinese restaurant name of all time, which sadly is closing in LA. We just found out. So this is where Freddie and Francine was born. The first show happened there. I was performing as a solo artist and I was writing songs with Lee and I was writing songs with all sorts of people in LA because I wanted to learn how to write music. I'd been a singer most of my life, but I was singing other people's songs. So I was really curious to like kind of peek in at other artists' process on how to write. So I asked Lee to write some songs with me. We wrote some songs and then I was going to perform a show at Genghis Cohen. And I did. And we wrote this one song together called Over and Over, which is the first song we ever wrote together. We said it was like a 1950s prom rock song. So that's another genre nobody knows about, 1950s prom rock. And so we got on stage and we got into our musical theater parts. We're like, okay, everyone, here's our 1950s prom rock ballad. Everyone, please, hit the dance floor and come up with a really cheesy 1950s name and be that character, inhabit that character. And off the cuff, he said, I'll be Freddie. And I said, I'll be Francine. And then we performed the song, and the entire audience was like, Freddie and Francine. They started cheering, and we were like, is that it? We were just sort of like looked at each other, and that's where it was born, this idea of like it's hearkening back to something that's timeless, and we want our music to feel like that, like it's old but it's new, and so
Right.
that's why we came up with that name.
I remember when I first heard that, and I love your name, Bianca Caruso. I couldn't imagine why you wouldn't use that name. It's such an, it feels like an exotic name, but Freddie and Francine fit you guys so well. Why don't we take a music break right now so the audience can hear some of your music? And when we come back, we'll talk more about how your music has evolved since your first release.
Well, we are going to take a music break, but I just have to say, I've been on mute, but I've just been laughing my head off and I've been writing down some of these things. Genghis Cohen, really? And prom rap ballads. Oh my gosh, this is a wonderful, wonderful interview. I've already learned so much. Okay, so the song that we're going to play, one of your songs, of course, Freddie and Francine, is called Ain't No Way. It's a really wonderful song. Do you want to tell us something about it?
Yeah, it's on our record Moonless Night, and it's a song we wrote for our friend who was thinking about giving up on music, and it's just about continuing the good fight, whatever art you're doing, because we need artists and we don't want art to go away. And so that's what it's for, all the artists out there who are thinking about maybe stopping. I'm telling you, don't stop.
What a wonderful reason to write a song, and especially right now, we need music more than ever. So thank you for that. And now we're going to listen to the song Ain't No Way from the EP Moonless Night by Freddie and Francine.
Now, it's easy to
91.3 KXCI Tucson. And I think I'm going to use that as a theme song in the future. Okay. And we're returning to our interview with Bianca Caruso from the music duo Freddie and Francine.
Yeah, I think we gave our audience a little bit of a idea on how powerful and how wonderful these two sing together. It's just a wonderful song. So talking about that, how has your sound evolved, do you think, since you guys first did that first song together?
That's an interesting question. I think that first song, we were sort of putting on these personas, right? We were playing characters in a way. Freddie and Francine were our individual characters, and we were writing these love songs, and we were sort of making up stories to, write songs from that place. And then as it evolved, I think Freddie and Francine became this sound that you can't quite put your finger on, or a genre that you can't quite put your finger on. And it's like, you need both of them to make this sound. And what happened was we as artists started writing about ourselves and our own experiences. So I think the music has become more personal over time, because when you're young, you're like, I don't have a lot of, maybe I don't have a lot of drama going on. I have to create drama and then write about that drama. And then as you get older, I feel like it's naturally in your life, or you're able to sort of tap into that part of your intimate self and be like, all right, I want to talk about this, or I'm ready to be more vulnerable in this area. And I'm finding the more vulnerable we are, the more people come up to us after shows and they're like, thank you for writing that song. That's when the connections are really made, the more we can be honest about our own experiences.
Yeah, that was a question I had for you. Are there songs that are too personal to share, or do you feel like it's you believe in putting it all out there? And I think you probably answered that. So.
Yeah, every time we take a risk on stage and we're like, I don't know about this song. Is it too much? Like, should we talk about this? Every single time, two people afterwards come up and like give us a hug. And you're like,
Sure.
that's why we do it. That's why you have to do it.
Yeah, songs that make people feel. And feel their own emotions and go through their own. I mean, those are the best. That's the best music out there is when you can
Yeah.
actually feel something from somebody's song on a personal level. You talked about so many different unique genres. Speaking of unique genres, you describe your music as Americana soul. What exactly is that?
These are all just words. We just jumble words together and we hope someone's like, oh, that sounds interesting. Americana is an umbrella. It has so many things underneath it: folk and country and R&B and roots music and all these things that we're pulling from. And because, at the end of the day, like, Lee loves Bob Dylan. That's like his guy. And I love Aretha Franklin and Whitney Houston and all 90s R&B, and this is my world. And so we take those fusions and we just put them together, and whatever that's called, and whatever, if someone hears it, it's Freddie and Francine. Like, that's what it's like. It's just unique to them. But I think Americana soul is taking a lot of genres and putting them together.
Okay. And I want to talk a little bit about your upcoming show on June 7th at Club Congress with Riso. What can you tell us about that?
Well, we're super excited, like I said, because it's our first official show as Tucson locals. So it feels really momentous. I just graduated from the U of A on May 16th. So it also feels like a grad party in a way.
Well,
I
congratulations.
mean, I don't know. I'm just saying that. I think what I'm excited about is I wear a lot of hats as a woman. I am a mom. I am an artist, a musician. I also was a student for the past 4 years. And so to be a mom, or, to be a mom, take that hat off, go into artist mode. To be an artist, take that hat off, go into student mode. It's been really tricky for me for the past 4 years, as you can imagine, like getting in that zone and feeling good about, okay, now I'm a musician. I feel I'm on the stage. Okay, now I'm a student. I'm here to learn. I want to have humility. So this has just been a little hard for me to transition, I think. And so this show really feels good because it's sort of setting the stage for this new era of my life, where I have it all happening at the same time. It's sort of a big soup, and I don't have to be like, I'm one thing, I'm another thing. I want it to all feel like it's a part of me and it's happening at the same time. And I don't want it to feel overwhelming. So it feels like all these parts of my life are going to be sort of fused together when the show happens. And the other exciting thing is that we're going to debut a brand new song that no one's heard. So Tucson will be the first to hear that on June 7th.
Yeah, I was going to ask if you had any new songs.
Yeah.
I want to give Cosmo his time on the show too.
Sure,
He's an
sure.
important person in your life. How has your performing life changed since you've had Cosmo? Because he's almost three now. So I'm wondering, does he go on tour with you? Is he into music? Does he travel with you?
So since Cosmo was born, we've taken a real step back from touring for our own mental health and for Cosmo's health. It is one of the hardest things I think people could ever do is tour as much as we were touring before the pandemic, and we really needed to take a step back from that. Although we are playing shows, we're being very selective about the shows we play throughout the year, but the last shows we played were in Maine last year, and Cosmo did come out with us, and he really enjoyed it. Cosmo is very into music and he loves singing. Our bedtime songs before bed, usually people do one or two songs before bed. We do six. So it's a lot of music, and he's very selective about his choices in music. And just like any toddler, he likes to listen to songs over and over again. But I do think he's going to be the loud kid in choir. I do predict that he will be loud.
He's going to be in musical theater then, right?
Probably, most likely.
I was wondering if there's a song you have written that still gives you the chills when you play it.
Oh, yeah. So that song is off of the album The Forest and the Sea, and it's called Company. And that song, I remember recording that song, like even talking about it, I have goosebumps. I remember recording that song, like the energy in the room, the way we wrote that song. I think that song is one of my favorite songs that we've written together and continues to give me just a lot of feelings when I perform it and when I hear it.
You know, I have to admit, I'm curious about your musical comedy act, Zabruso. Are you still doing that as well?
No, so there was a time when Freddie and Francine took a break from Freddie and Francine, and Lee went off and did a Broadway show called Million Dollar Quartet, and he traveled all over the world. And while he was doing that, I was performing musical comedy in Joni Mitchell's house in Laurel Canyon with another artist named Jen Zabrowski, and she and I created the show, and we performed it at Just for Laughs Comedy Festival in Montreal. And we sold a pilot to ABC, and it was a very intense, fun time, but it's no longer happening. It was a really cool thing that got to happen. And I was really something I'd never done was write a television show and perform. It was musical comedy, but it was like in this new sort of thing that I'd never done before, where I was talking about my feelings, but we were making them funny. It was
Right.
so it's separate than Freddie and Francine, but a challenging thing to like write a television show for a big corporation and all the
My
things that come
God.
along with
I
that.
mean, many people have not done that. Let me just say. Does that experience change how you perform on stage with Freddie and Francine? Do you bring any of that to your performances, the musical comedy part?
Well, I think what I learned from that experience is that I want to be doing more of my music in a serious bent. Like I don't need to be like laughing about it all the time. But what I've learned about the show of Freddie and Francine and like what we want people to walk away with is we want people to laugh and we want there to be laughter. And then we also want moments of like reflection and tears or whatever. Like we want you to go through a full range of emotions when you come to a Freddie and Francine show. We don't want it to just be all laughs. We want it to be like there's moments of heavy, there's moments of light. And every time you get a heavy moment, there's going to be a light moment that comes. So we want to keep you, we want the audience to know they're safe. And I think lately, we've been leaning into that more and more. And it's not like a Vegas show per se, but it's just something different. It's like our own way of saying like, okay, we're gonna laugh because life, you gotta laugh at life, but you also have to like take these moments that are really important or really vulnerable, and we have to honor those too. And we want to be able to do all of that in a show.
Yeah, that's amazing because you hear a lot of shows and you just hear just kind of song after song after song, and not necessarily do that you understand the flow or the connection of it. So there's a lot of thought that goes into your shows. I think that makes it, I mean, it shows your background in theater
Well,
and,
it's a show. It, like you're saying, it's a show.
a
It's like
show.
there's a beginning and an end. And I want that, like a musical theater show, it's like you start somewhere and then you end somewhere. And I want there to be a journey.
Okay. Well, just tell us one more time about your show on June 7th and where people can get tickets.
Oh, yeah. So we are playing at Club Congress on June 7th. The show starts at 7:30 p.m. with Riso opening up the night, which is going to be amazing. And then we will play around 8:30. After that, you can get tickets at, I believe, hotelcongress.com. Google it, and you will find the ticket link.
All right. And thank you so much for being with us today. It's such a pleasure to see you. I don't think I've seen you in a couple of years, and it's wonderful to see you.
Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed
The
myself.
last time I saw you were pregnant.
Well, thank God that's not true. We've got a Cosmo
You have
now.
a wonderful Cosmo, and I love that name. It's wonderful.
Oh,
Thank you so much.
thank you.
Well, I'm afraid that's all the time we have for today. But Bianca Caruso, thanks for being with us today to talk about your life and your music with Freddie and Francine. We look forward to seeing you on June 7th with Riso at Hotel Congress Plaza. And thanks to all of you out there for listening today. This is Kathy Harris with Aspen Green, and you have been listening to Broad Perspectives Radio. You can hear more of our shows on our podcast page at kxci.org. But right now, stay tuned because next up we have Boom Goddess Radio with Jennifer Davis Page. Have a great Sunday, and we'll see you next week.
I don't think you have the right to tell me I am out of line. When I finally speak what's in my head, you punish me 'cause I'm upset. If I'm gonna do time, I'ma do it on my watch. When I'm done, I'll let you know I'm all.